following Jihong's footsteps, I'll name my teaching. I decided to name it What It Means to Be in Him. What It Means to Be in Him.
Hallelujah.
So hallelujah, yes. So let me pray for us real quick. God, thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus, and that he was willing to die on the cross for us. God, I just pray that tonight we would catch a little bit more of what that means for us in our lives and how powerful that really is. So just pray and ask for your spirit to come and speak into the hearts of everyone here, God. May your word go forth and not mine. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay. So, Colossians 2, 6 through 15. I think, you know, when I first read this passage, there's a few things, kind of some of the phrases in it that are just repeated over and over again were really powerful for me. So things like in him and in the faith and with him. So those three phrases show up in this kind of section of scripture like 10 times, right? So there's something about what's happening here in this scripture that points to being with Jesus or in Jesus or somehow our faith is interacting with that. And so, those are all, they're relational phrases, right? It's all about being with God, a closeness with God, right? You're being in him. And we know when we're with people, we get to know them better, right? And so there's this aspect of closeness with God or maybe knowing God's heart. Maybe understanding or starting to understand a little bit of his wisdom. We can maybe see how he's working or what he's doing, right? And then kind of the other set of phrases which really caught my attention was the abounding in thanksgiving and whole fullness of deity dwells bodily and then filled in him, right? I don't necessarily describe my life that way, right? Like that's kind of, when I read Elijah or Moses, I read some of these real powerful people in the Bible. That's what I think of. Oh yeah. Yeah. He was filled with the Spirit or he was, these words of fullness and just amazing life with God. Right. It's not just being thankful, but it's an abundance of thankfulness, right? Having more than we need. It's not a question of, is our glass half empty or half full? It's totally full, right? And then a whole fullness of God dwelling in us, right? So everything of God is in me, right? They're just like, some of that just feels like unreachable, right? Or unattainable sometimes. And so, a lot of the time. So how do we experience that, right? How do I get to that place where I experience what these words are saying? And so I picked, I picked a couple things. The first one was, there's this theme of circumcision in the passage. And then the second piece was being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So I think those two scriptures I'm going to focus on a little bit. So the first one, circumcision, in verse 11, it states, "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." By the way, this is ESV. Yeah, ESV. "Made without hands, putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." And so, you know, that there's a few things in this verse. The first one is it's a circumcision of Christ. It's not a human circumcision. So it's not the covenant that Abraham had, right, of circumcising all the males in his family. This has to do with Christ. So something Christ did is a circumcision for us. And it's something that Christ does. It's not us, right? So it's not us trying to deny ourselves and cutting off of certain worldly things, or it doesn't have to do, you know, or following a set of Old Testament rules. It's not about that. It's about Christ. And then the second thing is, the verb is were. In him also you were circumcised. So that's past tense, right? So that means we're already circumcised. It's not something that's happening now, currently, based on our life with God. It already happened. And so we're already circumcised, and so we're already in Christ, right? So I think part of that has to do with verse 6, right? "Therefore, as you received Christ the Lord," I think as we receive Christ, we get that circumcision of Christ. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. The second piece is the rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, right? So that verse in 7, verse 7, "rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So it uses the word rooted, right? Which is, you know, it has to do with plant roots or tree roots, right? So what's kind of the purpose of roots, right? Well, roots we know kind of go down into the soil, right? And so they're what, they bring in nutrients to the plant. They bring in the water, right? They find water and they find nutrients and they bring it in for the plant. And then the second thing is they keep the plant rooted into the ground. So they keep it on the ground, right? So when a storm comes and the wind is blowing and the rain is coming down, or maybe, you know, there's water washing over the surface, the roots are holding onto the ground and they're keeping the plant there so that the plant just doesn't get washed away or the tree doesn't get blown over, right? And then the roots would be uprooted and they wouldn't be in the soil anymore and the plant would die because it would have no source of nutrients, right? So the roots also hold on to the soil and keep the plant rooted there. And so when we, you know, I think there's this aspect of when we recognize Christ's circumcision, when we receive Christ and we recognize his circumcision and we root ourselves in that, right? We root ourselves in Christ. We root ourselves in his word. I think those are some of the keys to experiencing more of the fullness of Christ that this passage is talking about. And so I kind of, you know, instead of just staying up in the clouds of circumcision and roots, I want to kind of share a story, and hopefully my story will help kind of unveil some of the mystery around this, at least that I'm trying to explain here. So my story focuses on, you know, being in him. So kind of the title that I shared earlier, and more specifically, it has to do with praying for other people. So my small group has kind of walked with me through this process. So they know a little bit about what I'll say, but, when, you know, God, several times in the Bible, it talks about, we need to be praying for other people, right? We need to be interceding for other people. And then, you know, one of the things that I hear Michael constantly talk about, right? Pastor Michael will just say, the most important thing you can do for people is pray for them, right? And it, like, he says that all the time, right? And so, you know, I've taken that to heart at various points, and, you know, I've spent a lot of time praying for people, but I didn't experience what this passage is kind of talking about, right? Of closeness with God and knowing God's heart and being with God. So while I'm, you know, while I'm praying for people, it just, I don't know, there was just, I felt like something was missing. And so the beginning of last year, actually, as I was thinking about the year of 2020, I felt like God was leading me to just look, to just pray for people and learn how to pray for people well. And so, you know, as I kind of look back on that decision to engage prayer in that way, I feel like I was, that's one way I was kind of recognizing God's circumcision in my life, right? Is that if he's going to ask me to pray for other people, then he better do something when I pray for other people, right? Like, if I'm circumcised and he's asking me to do this, then there's got to be a reason to do it, right? And so there has to be some kind of fullness of God that I should experience in that. And so that's a way that I'm kind of owning my circumcision, right? Is by pursuing a word that God has given to me. And so that's what I did. I chose to pray daily for other people. I'm sure there were days that I missed, but for the most part, I tried to pray every day. And as I expected, I continued to kind of just experience this block in prayer as I'm praying for other people. I just felt like my prayers weren't very effective. And honestly, if I'm just honest, I was bored. Like, I did not enjoy praying for other people. And so, you know, I would have in my kind of personal prayer times with God, where I was praying about myself or maybe my family, those would be great. Like, I would experience God, I would get a word, and things would happen, right? I was experiencing God moving in my life. But then when I would move, okay, it's time to pray for other people. Oh, it was like, it's like I'm looking at a wall, a blank wall, right? It was like, it's kind of like writer's block for prayer. You know, I hear people who are writers, John probably experiences this sometimes, where people are trying to sit down and write something, a book or a poem or whatever it is they're writing, and they just, nothing's coming. The creative process has come to a halt, right? And I kind of felt that way in prayer, where I was praying, but I don't know, it was just, I was bored, and I felt like God, you know, I was praying out into the midst of the abyss, right? And my prayers were whatever, just dissipating into the atmosphere. And so I just felt like this is kind of what I was living in. And this happened for months. This was going on for a long time. My poor small group just heard me ask for prayer for this like every week. So they just had to endure me saying, would you pray for me? I can't, like, I'm trying to learn how to pray for other people, and I just can't do it very well. So they would just hear me week after week after week for months. And so one of the things, you know, as that, as that process was unfolding, and as I just had to, as I kept praying on a daily basis, that was where being rooted in God comes in, right? Where I just had to root myself. I had to hold on to the word that God had told me. You need to pray for people, right? That's what he said. I said, okay, I'm going to pray for people. And I just had to hold on to it, right? And so, but as that was happening, it became harder and harder to do, right? Like after months of praying and, you know, praying into the wall and just feeling lame, it got harder and harder to do until finally I just got so frustrated, right? And I got to this place where I just said, okay, God, I can't do this anymore, right? Like, I can't do this. I feel like I'm wasting my time. I feel, and it's just painful, right? And so one of the things that I was thinking of at that time is I had gotten this word from Psalm 1, and about delighting in the word of God. And that word had just opened up some things for me in other areas of my life, where there were just things that were happening and I was delighting in it, right? I was enjoying the word and I was enjoying seeing God move through the word. Different things with my kids and different things with, yeah, just different things happening, even just personally with the things that I'm focused on. But I was not delighting in praying for other people. And so this, like that word that I got and that was happening in other areas of my life was actually like a needle poking at me, you know, like as I was praying for other people, it was just, oh man, it was just getting at me, right? And so finally I was like, okay, God, you have to do something because I can't deal with this anymore. And I think that was kind of my turning point. What happened next was I had been, after in March or April, kind of after COVID-19 hit, when Michael and Cindy, started a noon weekday prayer call. I had been getting on that prayer call probably 2-3 times a week for the most part. And, I'd been doing that for months. But something happened the next time I was on the prayer call where I realized that when I was joining in corporate prayer for other people, there was a way that I was catching God's heart for the people that we were praying for in a way that in my personal times, I wasn't able to do. And I think it was because other people were naturally just gravitating to God's heart for people and praying out of that. And I just wasn't able to do that by myself, right? But when I was in corporate prayer, I could hear that and I go, oh, that makes sense, God. Yes, you love them in this particular way or whatever, right? And it would, and then I was able to, it kind of gave me a glimpse into God's heart. And from that place, I was able to pray for people, right? And so I realized that that's what I was missing in my personal prayer times as I was praying for people. And so so it was at that point that I asked God, okay, God, would you help me to know your heart for people when I'm praying by myself, right? Would you give me that without me having to hear somebody else talk about it or pray about it first? Right. And so that was, that's when I started, like, as I started praying that in my prayer times and I would ask God for God's heart, I started to understand how God was correcting me in that. And that correction came as I realized in my personal prayer times, I was really focusing on the needs that other people were having and the needs and the, you know, the wants, whatever it was that we were praying for, that particular item. And what was happening is I was so focused on that it was squeezing God out. out of the picture, right? I was just like, I was praying for the need without recognizing God in it. And so I was kind of like, it's kind of like the idea of waving a magic wand, right? Like, I see a need, I'm going to wave the wand and zap that need and God's going to take care of it, right? So I kind of felt more like, I realized I was like, I was acting more like Harry Potter, right, with his wand, than I was about dwelling in the fullness of God and taking my circumcision, owning it, and seeking God in the midst of that and asking him to show me what to pray for people and to show me his heart for people and to show me that not only did he want to take care of the needs that I was focusing on, but he had so much more for people than just that initial need. And so that's what I started doing. Once I kind of started to catch that, once I could hear God's correction, then when I would get to my individual prayer times, I would start that way. The first thing I would do is I would just say, okay, God, you know, reveal your heart for that person. Like, I understand, I know the need, right? I know the need that they've shared or that I can see or whatever it is in their life, but you need to show me how you think about them. And as I did that, my prayer times just kind of started to slowly change. And I would start to get words for people in my prayer times, and then I would pray into that word, right? It wasn't, you know, I wasn't praying for people in the time or with people, right? It was just me. And I was praying about a specific person, and I would get that word and I would pray into that word. And then eventually I would get around to praying for those specific needs, right? Hey, somebody told me to pray for this. I'm going to pray for that, right? But it was a different experience of praying for that need because it was praying out of God's heart for that need. And then there was more to it. And it was a much fuller experience of praying for people. And then that Psalm 1 piece started to happen where I was actually enjoying praying for people. And it was a delight, right? It was a delight. Now, you know, there were times when I was praying for people and, you know, I would pray. I felt like I got God's heart, but I was like, okay, I still need to pray for that person. But you know what? I gotta, you know, get up and make breakfast, right? And so there were times when it wasn't necessarily where I felt like, okay, God's gonna take care of it, right? And so I would have to come back to it and pray through it again, or pray through it multiple times, but those prayer times were different. And so that was kind of that process of being rooted and holding on to God's word long enough that he would start to build me up in it. And it would start to change me and transform how I was operating in my prayer times. So here's some of kind of the key takeaways from my story. So first is Christ's circumcision. It's already done, right? It happened when Christ died on the cross. It's done. But I can rely on that, right? I can rely on that. That's a solid thing that I don't have to worry about, right? I can always come to God knowing that Christ died for me and that I'm in him and that I'm circumcised and I can engage God through that, right? The second thing has to do with being, when we get a word or when we feel like God is leading us somewhere in the word, right? It requires us to root ourselves. It requires us to hold on to that word, right? And not to let it go. And so there's this element where we have to be persistent And we have to be obedient to that word, even when the wind blows, even when it's hard, even when it's boring, even when we don't want to do it, even when it's, you know, painful, so to speak, right? And we have to hold on to it for long enough, right? Where we start to come to the end of ourselves, right? Where we just can't do it anymore, right? So it's that place where we feel like we just come to that place where it's, I can't do this anymore, God. I can't pray at the wall. I can't pray into space where it just goes into the abyss of nothingness and nothing ever happens. I can't do this anymore, right? You have to do something. You have to, I don't know, you have to change something in me. You have to reveal something to me. Something's gotta happen. And you just come to that place, but you have to hold on long enough to get there. And then the last thing is when we're in that place, we have to be open to correction, right? We have to be open to hearing something from God that changes what we do or changes what we think about what we're doing or how we go about doing something. So in my case, right, it was, I felt like God was kind of saying, yes, I want to answer your prayers, but I want to do so much more. And I can't do that unless you understand my heart for people. And it was when I understood that heart and I understood that, you know, God was not just the power behind my magic wand, that started opening up for me and things started to change. And so there's this element of while we're circumcised and while we're in him, in order to really experience the fullness of what that is, we have to be willing to hold on to the word and allow us to root and allow us to be taken to that place of, God, you say to delight in the word, but I'm not experiencing that. Right? So we have to be honest with the gap between what we experience and what we're reading in the word and say, God, you have to fill that gap. You have to do something to fill that for me and teach me something or show me something or do something that will, excuse me, that will change my experience of whatever it is that I'm engaging in.